Glory to God. Normally when I have a guest minister in, I ask who hasn't been here before when this guest minister comes in, but none of you have been here before. Regina, just to give you some reference of who she is, when my dad went home to be with the Lord in January, she was the young lady that sang at the homegoing service. She used to travel with Kenneth Hagin Sr., and then she also does some things at Rhema. She's a little fire plug, and you'll enjoy her very, very much. And she has some original music, and so she'll probably be singing and dancing and preaching and shouting, and it'll be really good, and I want you to come for that. Hallelujah. Well, I do understand. I was waiting for y'all to get as excited as you were last Wednesday. I heard about it. And it got off on me while I was down there. I was minding my own business, and the Lord told me to call up here and send somebody some money. And I'm trying to eat shrimp and have, and he's talking to me about, aren't you glad God wants you blessed? Anytime there's a harvest coming, he's going to have you sow a seed. Can't get one any other way. Amen. So I just, you know, just been meditating. Pastor Rhonda's been doing Wednesday nights for a while, and I don't know if she's done yet. We'll figure that out later. But as I was just getting ready for this, the term in the spirit came to me. And so I want you to start with me in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. We're going to talk about walking in the spirit. We're going to talk about the spirit of God. In these times that we live in, you must know the Holy Ghost. In the times that we've come into, you need to be led by the Spirit of God. You've always needed to be led, but you need to be led by Him. You need to know where to live. You need to know where to work. You need to know what store to go to. You need to know where to stay away from. You need to know about your children. You need to know about the people they hang with. You need to know stuff. You've got to know stuff. Aren't you grateful you can be led by the Spirit of God? In every decisions, you've got so many decisions to make. You know, we make small decisions to big decisions, but all day long, God wants to help you with your decision-making process because you don't know the future. You don't know the future. We'll pick on the, I'll help the young ladies and pick on the young fellas or the older fellows. I mean, young ladies, he'll act nice and open the door. And what I used to do to Pastor Rhonda before we got married, I went to the grocery store with her. But after we said I do, I don't believe I do have to anymore. No, sometimes I run into some of y'all at Kroger's or Walmart, but it's rare. But when we were dating, I was there pushing her little cart for her. This is a small thing. But then there's big stuff that you can't know, but God knows everything. John 16, 13 says, he'll show you things to come. And it's more than knowing it on a piece of paper. You know, if you've ever heard me teach on how to follow the Holy Ghost, I like to look at John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. You are his sheep. You know his voice. You as a believer don't have to learn his voice. You know his voice. If you're born again, he's a shepherd. You're a sheep. You know his voice. Romans 8, 14 says that because we're sons of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. John 18, 37 says, because you're of the truth that you hear his voice. To the churches in Revelation, he says, he's talking to the church, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. I'm telling you, God's always talking. God, there's a perceiver on the inside of you that'll keep you out of danger on the ship. On Paul's way to Rome, he was guarded by a centurion, and he said, I perceive, or I know this on the inside. It wasn't based on, you know, looking at the weather. It wasn't based on being a master, of shipping. He didn't have any training in that. He was a preacher. He made tents. But he knew something, and he tried to tell them. But because they didn't trust in him, they believed the experts. Who are you believing? Do you believe the experts? I thank God for experts. I thank God for education. I think you should get as much natural education as you can. But when your natural education goes against the Holy Ghost, you better learn to listen to the Holy Ghost, because he is smarter than you are. And your education is only as good as the people teaching it. If they believe lies and they teach you lies and you got an A on their lie test, you didn't do much good for yourself. But he never lies, and he knows the future. And so I like what happened here to John the Revelator. He said something that has always stuck with me, and you've been looking at it, Revelations 1:10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So if you can be in the Spirit, you can also be out of the Spirit. What does it mean to be in the Spirit? Well, I think in our kind of church, you know, being a church that loves the Word, but a Holy Ghost church, you know, if you didn't know it and you're new, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we believe in speaking in other tongues. And I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. If that scares you, just hang around. You'll understand how good it is. But in our kind of church, that phrase, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, you know, I can talk about us because we are us, not talking about our church, but our group. Sometimes in the Spirit to a lot of people means granola. It can get a little fruity, get a little flaky, get a little bit nutty. So in the Spirit doesn't mean crazy with no purpose. In the Spirit doesn't mean, sometimes, you know, a run around the room is in the Spirit, and sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes, you know, getting the Holy Ghost vapors and falling out is in the Spirit, and sometimes it's just put on. What is in the Spirit? What is in the Spirit? Now, I'll tell you this, and so y'all don't get all tied up on me. I'd rather have some no fire that looks like fire than no fire at all. You know, I'd rather people step out and try to follow the Holy Ghost than just sit there like a bunch of bumps on a log. I like live, all right? I like alive. So while I'm preaching, you know, you can talk to me, all right, and if you get out of order, I'll just stare at you. Not really. In the Spirit. So in our circles sometimes, in the Spirit, someone will say, you know, like maybe I'm preaching, they'll say, man, Pastor was really in the Spirit tonight. Or if someone does run around the room and you can tell it was the Holy Ghost, say, wow, they were really in the Spirit. Or, you know, maybe one of the singers or one of the musicians will really get anointed and you'll say, well, wow, they were really in the Spirit. Is that the correct and only use of that phrase? Because, see, if we relegate in the Spirit to an hour and a half, first service is an hour and a half, second service an hour and a half or 40 minutes, whichever I decide. If that's all you relegate being in the Spirit to, then you're only in the Spirit for an hour and a half, an hour 40 minutes once a week. Is that all it is? Or those of you who come on Wednesday nights, you add an extra hour and a half and maybe you're in 3 hours of the week. How many? That's really short. To be only in the Spirit. You say, well, I pray at home. But is that really, and can you only do it when you are, I mean, is it something that you can only do a limited time? Or is in the Spirit, what does it mean? I heard one simple definition. In the Spirit just means more aware of spiritual things than natural things. And have you ever heard this saying? Well, they were so spiritually minded, they were no earthly good. You know, but I don't like that saying, because I think we have to be spiritually minded. I think the only reason you can be any earthly good is if you are spiritually minded. What they mean is they were acting spiritual and they weren't. You know, I wanted to say, well, I just need to be spiritual. And so I never, I don't cut my own grass, but let's just say I did. So I'm never going to cut the grass because that's my prayer time. And so I'm never going to do that. Or let's say, you know, or maybe it was my turn to do the dishes. And I said, well, I feel like I need to be spiritual. And so I'm going to lay that aside. That's just natural. Well, I never want to, you know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm too spiritual to work. You've been delivered from a lot, but you've not been delivered from work. Yes, I have. No, you've been delivered from toil, but you've not been delivered. The curse of the fall, you've not been delivered from. You've been delivered from the curse of the law. And so when we work today, we work and everything we do is blessed. So in the spirit doesn't mean some of the things that people have made it. And so when some people begin to mess with some things, and then it makes us sensible people want to pull away from their mess or their nonsense, because we need to be spiritual and we need to know the Holy Ghost and we need to be able to understand what it is. I have way too much ring up here for me. Can you do something with the verb or something? So what we need to do is understand how to walk in the Spirit. So let's do this. Let's start with my comfort zone. Let's start with Galatians chapter 5. Because what does it mean to be in the Spirit? So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So the first thing in the Spirit I want to do is I want to look at Galatians 5:16. Wherefore we should look at Galatians instead of 1 Corinthians. Galatians 5:16. I know it by heart, but I want to look at it. Then I say, this is what I say. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of your flesh. You know, so many times we try to fight with our flesh, but the Bible says if you just walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of it. Your flesh has lust. Did you know that? Everybody know that? I mean, when you got born again, your flesh did not get born again, and it still wants to do what it wants to do. It does. And the cure for that, one of the main cures, is walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That means it's not something you can do on your own. I appreciate programs and self-help things, those kind of things. I appreciate them. But if anyone is ever going to get delivered from something, is anyone ever going to get delivered from a habit or an addiction of any kind, you're going to have to get them to walk in the Spirit. Even in our church, I have seen instantaneous deliverances off of drugs, alcohol, pornography, just messes. Thank God. It's amazing to watch. But I've also watched in 20-some-odd years, going on 27, 28 years in the ministry, if I can't get them in the Word and learn to walk in the Spirit, it gets back on them because their flesh liked it. And is used to, and it was the lust of their flesh. Have you ever wondered why some people can drink a glass of wine, it never bother them, but one glass of wine can turn into alcoholism for somebody else? I don't have time to get, I lost a lot of you, but I don't care. Praise the Lord. Why would you mess with something even that could cause someone potentially to ruin their life, even if it don't bother you? Well, Jesus turned the water into wine. Oh, I know. I know. But he also don't be drunk with wine. Don't even get a little buzzed with wine. That's why we do things around here. You know, oh, well, help me, Jesus. Let's go. But have you ever wondered why one person has a problem with something, you know, and it sits, there's everybody, some of the lust of people's flesh is different than yours. And so don't get all so high and mighty and thinking, well, they shouldn't have a problem with that. Well, you wasn't born in their shoes. And you don't know what happened, what's in their flesh, and what happened in their childhood, and what the devil did to them. And so what I do know, and I'll just throw this out there, praise the Lord, this is on tape and TV, hallelujah, but I don't care how anyone says they were born. You weren't born again that way. And when someone is born again, and they have a new nature in them, if they will walk in the Spirit, you know, well, Pastor Mark, there's some sins going around that, Listen to me. If you don't equate adultery, fornication, and the big one that's going around today, if you don't lump them all in the same basket, shame on you. Adultery is no worse. Two people having sex outside of marriage is no worse. It is all sin. I'm losing some of you, but some of you are, listen to me. I'm telling you, when we got to call sin, sin. And we all have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. I got flesh. You got flesh. Everybody's flesh is different, but the cure is walking in the Spirit. And everyone who's born again, everybody say everyone. Everyone can equally walk in the Spirit. Because see, what happens in our kind of church is we separate it. This is where I'm trying to go. We separate the walking in the Spirit for a time frame, for a certain group of people. But walking in the Spirit is different than being anointed for a particular thing. So everybody in this room, everybody who will listen to this, everybody who's going to watch this, everybody who's born again can walk in the Spirit. And everybody who's born again needs to walk in the Spirit. Because number one, it keeps you from the lust of your flesh. And then when you realize that, then you can help someone. You can help a spouse. You can help a teenager. You can help a friend. You can help a family member who is dealing with their flesh, and you want to go, you know, a little cluck at them, or you know whatever, or make fun, or talk about them behind their back. Say, you know, well, I would never do that. Wait. Well, that's I would never do that. I would never do that. That's like pride. And you may not do exactly that, but there's something that the devil's trying to set you up for. And so this way, though, if you know the cure, come on, if you knew the cure to something, you could share it. You could share it with someone. And so if we can really get people to walk in the Spirit, if I will really walk in the Spirit, if you will really walk in the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. It just says you won't fulfill. It doesn't mean they won't be there. It doesn't mean your flesh don't want to. Because your flesh may want to. So, well, I just believe when you get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered, you should never have another evil desire, evil thought, another stupid thought in your head. Well, that would mean the devil would have to be gone. And he ain't. He is not. He is still here. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit. So we're all going to walk in the Spirit, right? Hallelujah. So how do you walk in the Spirit? Well, number one, I got to hurry up. Well, number one, how do you walk in the Spirit? You walk in the Word. John 6:63. It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and life. So when I walk in the Spirit, then I got to walk in the Word. How do I walk in the Word? I become a doer of the Word. James 1:22. How do I take the Word and walk in the Spirit with it? My words, they're Spirit and they're life. Then what I got to do is I got to become one with it. I can't just hear it. I gotta do it. And how do I do it? Well, I begin to talk about it. I begin to meditate on it. And since those words are Spirit and they're life, when I speak the Word, it puts me in the Spirit. When I speak the Word, because the Word is Spirit, it puts me in the Spirit. Try to do this. Don't try to do this. I'm going to say, try to sin and then say the Word. Don't do that. But what I mean is, if you're having trouble with the lusts of the flesh, or if you're having trouble with something, if you will make yourself begin to speak the Word of God. But you can't speak what you don't know. Sometimes when the pressure's on, you don't have time to get a concordance. Or call up Sister Susie who knows the word. Or your prayer partner. We got to know the word, right? I mean, how did Jesus get rid of the devil? He said, it is written. What did the devil do to Eve? He tricked her. She didn't really know or have strong what God really said. All right. So the other one, 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. It says, he's made us able to minister the New Testament, not the letter of the Spirit. For the letter kills. So how many of you know you can make the word of God, even the New Testament, you can make it legalism. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever, did you come out of a legalistic church? Did you come out of something where everything was legal? It was more don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't. You're worthless. You're a sinner. You're not good enough. You can never please God. What is that? That's letter of the law. Try to give you the letter of the law. Listen, but the Bible says the letter does what? It kills. I've watched people who get to know the word, and when they want, even, you know, I've watched people take the word of God, which is a sword, but I've instead of taking it against the devil, I've seen them take it against people and just slice them and dice them. That's not what the word's for. And taking the word and just trying to prove a point and always being having to be right. And I tell you all the time, even with people who don't believe in healing and don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't believe in prosperity, don't believe in women preachers, find something that you believe. If they're a Christian, if all you got to talk about is Jesus was raised from the dead, make every day Easter at work. Every day is Easter. Well, I need to teach them. Well, if they don't want to be taught by you, make every day Easter. There'll be classes in heaven. Are you sure about that? Pretty sure. I don't have scripture on it, so don't quote me. Anyway, how do you walk in the Spirit? Well, the first thing is you got to have the word. The letter kills, but the Spirit, the Spirit of the word brings life. It's like fresh water. But the word will put you immediately in the Spirit. And if you know that, then that's another reason to speak it. That's another reason to meditate on it. That's another, because when you think about it, it puts you in the Spirit, because Jesus said, my words, they're Spirit and they're life. Another way to get in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Why do I want to walk in the Spirit? The apostle, the John the Revelator said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm going to have to jump ahead because we're going to run out of time. If you want to hear big things from God, you're going to have to learn how to daily walk in the Spirit. If you need to hear things about your children and your grandchildren, about your future, you cannot wait until the chips are all down or when it's a huge problem in your life. You and I have to walk in the Spirit every day. That's our position in life. It's not like getting in and getting out. It's learning to get in and stay in. And so how do I get in and stay in? I learned to walk by the word. So it's really easy. So again, if I relegate it, though, to church and to anointed people, but you all are anointed too, but I'm saying, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, and it happens around here. You know, we everything is right and the glory falls. We're like, wow, the Spirit of God is really here. The glory was here. And we even had times where we've, you know, seen a cloud. And I mean, people have gotten miraculously healed and that's it. But if that's the only time you can be in the Spirit, you can't control that. That's as the Spirit of God wills. But what I'm talking about is as really you're willing, because God's already willing for you to walk in the Spirit. He's made a way for you to walk in the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And those 6 to 8 hours you're sleeping, you know, you got to work to walk, you know, you got to stay in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Go to bed in the Spirit and wake up in the Spirit. Listen to me. I'm telling you that there are some things coming. There's some things coming. There's some things coming. There's some things coming that you and I have to make sure we know the Holy Ghost, that we're talking to the Holy Ghost, that we're walking with the Holy Ghost. And it really begins by a daily lifestyle of walking in the Spirit. You do not have two lives. You do not have a secular life and a sacred life. You have one life. And we need to learn to live this life at home. We need to not just live it at church. Come on, it's easy to do it for an hour and a half on Sunday and an hour and a half on Wednesday. But when you start doing this at home and modeling it in front of your children, your teenagers, and your young adults, and when you start modeling it at work, and I'm not talking about modeling like you're walking down a runway. I'm talking about modeling like you are showing them what it is that he's real. You can, come on, y'all. I know some of your jobs. I can't walk in the Spirit at work, Pastor Mark. I got to be tough. Well, sometimes Jesus was tough, but he was always in the Spirit. It's a dog eat dog. What's dog eat dog anyway? That should be wrong. You should never say that. I mean, but what is it? It's tough out there. Yeah, but he's smarter than you. Walk in the Spirit. How else you get in the Spirit? Just real quick. Pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Everybody say in the Spirit. Now listen, if he's telling you to pray in the Spirit, we're going to get to tongues in a minute, but all praying, you can pray in your understanding, because remember what 1 Corinthians said? He said, pray in the Spirit, pray in your own understanding. Sing in the Spirit, sing in your own understanding. So, but you can be in the Spirit in your known language. You can be in the Spirit in English, in Spanish, in French, in Japanese. You can be in the Spirit in your known language. How do you do that? Well, pray the word. But he said, supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for the saints. But you can, so my point is though this, you can pray and not be in the Spirit. What is not in the Spirit? Not aware of the Holy Ghost. Not aware of spiritual things. Just because you're praying and say, Father, and say something doesn't necessarily mean it was in the Spirit. In the Spirit is in the Word, but you and I can. So how do we get in the Spirit? Well, one of the ways is to pray. 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says this. It says, for he that speaks in unknown tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. Everybody say in the Spirit. So thank God, one of the quickest ways that I know of to get in the Spirit, and this is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everybody, every born-again believer ought to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, is because you need to be able to pray. And sometimes when you've prayed the Word, how many know the Word always works? But when you pray, what does the Bible say? When you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in other tongues, you pray out what? Mysteries. What are you doing? You're praying out the future. Every born-again believer ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The other thing to do to get into the Spirit is worship. How many of you know you don't need the Cornerstone Word of Life worship team to get to worship? You ought to be able to worship at home. You don't even need music to worship. Sometimes I would encourage you not to have any music. Yeah, but I can't sing. Well, that's okay. I can't either. And I know sometimes you have to endure me publicly singing, but that's all right. You'll get over it. But you need to be good at worshiping at home. Why? That's another quick way to get in the Spirit. The Bible says in Philippians 3:3, it says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Everybody say, I worship God in spirit. John chapter 4, verses 20 through 24, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And he said, there's an hour coming that now is. There's an hour coming and now is when true worshipers. So if there's true worshipers, there's also false worshipers, and there's everything in between. True worshipers shall worship me how? In spirit and truth. Now I could just take, about 7 hours to teach on worshiping in spirit and truth, but we don't have time for that. But I'm telling you, how do you worship in spirit and truth? Well, what is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Holy Ghost, Spirit of truth. He is the truth. The Word is the truth. So you take the Word of God and you worship him with it, and it'll put you in the Spirit. So that's called walking in the Spirit. Everybody say walking in the Spirit. Okay, so that's my introduction. Hallelujah. And so now we're going to get to what I wanted to get to, but I want you to see you got to walk in the Spirit. And you do that every day. Are you listening? You're going to walk in the Spirit. When are you going to walk in the Spirit? You're going to walk in the Spirit as you're leaving and the police officer tells you to wait. You're going to walk in the Spirit. You're going to sit in the Spirit, okay? And so what are you going to do? You're going to, tomorrow when you go to work, on the way into work, when you get up, when you're doing whatever you're doing on the way, you can be in the Spirit. John the Revelator was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord did not tell him to get in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit, and the Lord happened to show up and have something big to tell him. Well, what was he doing? Maybe he was just worshiping. Maybe he was just praying in the Holy Ghost. I know he had more time on his hands than we do because he was banished to an island. But it doesn't take an hour and a half to get in the Spirit. It takes about 5 seconds. Father, I love you. You are so good. You're good in your mercy. What am I? I'm in the Spirit. Do I feel anything? Well, I don't have to feel anything. How do I know I'm in the Spirit? Because I'm doing what the Bible says to do to be in the Spirit. Do I have to feel the Holy Ghost's doodaddies? You don't have to feel. I thank God for those. I love to feel the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad God's real and you can feel him? But you don't have to feel him to be in the Spirit. Because see, if I have to wait for a moment, if I have to wait for a certain time, then I can't choose when I get in the Spirit. But I can choose to be in the Spirit. So if I'm always in the Spirit, when the Lord chooses to say something to me that I need to know. I'm not talking about being led by the Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit all the time. But there's some big things that sometimes God needs to tell you, that he's got to wait for you to get in the Spirit. And if he needed to tell you something on Friday, you don't have time to wait till you get here on Sunday morning to get in the Spirit. You don't have time. That kairos, that moment has already passed. Maybe it's something you've been believing for, something somewhere you needed to be. I'm just telling you, learning to be in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit combined together creates things for you that only God can create. It'll keep you out of danger. It'll keep you, it could put you at the right place at the right time to meet the right person for something personal, for business, being where you're supposed to be, where the favor of God is able to shine on you, because you're a person of the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit. And you're a person of the Word, so you're always in the Spirit. You're a person of worship. You're a person of prayer. And so it puts you in a place of walking in the Spirit. And then you can add to this, and this is where I want to get to. So if you're walking in the Spirit, then when you come to church or when you gather, then the Lord wants to add to that, and he wants to come on top of that. He wants to pour out on that. So if I'm always walking in the Spirit, because see, I've watched people get poured out on who don't walk in the Spirit. He still pours out on anyway, because he reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. Why won't he reign on the children and the children, even though some children are walking in the Spirit and some children are not walking in the Spirit? Do you understand what I just said? I don't know if I did, but I believe I said it right. You understand? So when he pours out on everybody in the room. He'll pour out on the righteous and the unrighteous. He also will pour out on people who continually walk in the Spirit and those that irregularly walk in the Spirit. But those who regularly walk in the Spirit, when they get the Spirit poured out on them, it's a little different. It's a little more. It adds to what they're doing. And so, like, you know, thank God, y'all know how in Acts chapter 2 and 4, how they were all, you know, praying. So that means they were in the Spirit. And suddenly, if I say suddenly, I think y'all ready for some suddenlies. It's your season. While Pastor Ron and I were gone, y'all know we went on vacation, but the first week wasn't vacation. We were praying. And I kept procostensi of the repeche of the recata, veste sebreste mahai, bonshoto. And so you've entered into a season, a marked time, a sure place that I have called you on to reap. To be restored and to be enhanced. But you must be positioned and ready to receive the season you have entered into. And so for, if you're not used to that, that's a tongue and interpretation from what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. When we were down there praying, normally a lot of times we pray about the church, the ministry, you know, we go all over the world, we pray about whatever the Lord says, but that first week, especially the first 3 or 4 days, you know, I'll just be real with you, we were having a come to Jesus meeting. Jesus was fixing some stuff. He was really helping us. And so it was a blessing. And so those who he loves, he corrects. And so, the beach made it better. Hallelujah. And so, and the shrimp. Hallelujah. But he was also talking to us about just what he said in the Holy Ghost, a season, a marked season. And you can miss your seasons. You can miss them. How do I know? He cried for Jerusalem. He cried. They should have known him. It was laid out for them. They should have known him. He cried. He wept over them. For they missed the season of their visitation. People all the time miss it. He appeared to 500 to come to the upper room. Only 120 showed up. Aren't you glad he doesn't get weary with us? He just keeps. That's not a good percentage. Sometimes it reminds me of my percentage on Wednesday nights. Versus Sundays. But he still shows up. If they were there for their appointment, he doesn't care how many invited. If they're ready, if they're there, he'll pour it out on whoever showed up. He's not mad at, I don't know if he's mad at the other 380, I don't know. I don't know if they got on board later, I don't know. But I believe these are the last of the last days. I didn't know we were supposed to be out of here with that Planet X thing. I didn't know that. I missed it. I didn't know. I was not prepared for that. I was talking to somebody and they asked me what I did. And I think I may have told a preacher. Say, oh, you know, the world's coming to an end. Like, no, I didn't. I didn't know that. Well, I'm ready. I'm ready. But I know there's a season. I know there's an appointed time. Was it my season? Well, I think it's an appointed season for this church and for the body of Christ, and I don't know what it all includes. I don't. But I know one of the keys is walking in the Spirit and then being, letting the Holy Ghost pour out personally and then when we're gathered together. Looking forward to saturation meeting Sunday night. Really looking forward to saturation meeting Sunday night. So the initial outpouring, they were in the Spirit. They were obedient. They waited. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. Cloven tongues, a fire set on each and every one of them. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Then you look over in Acts chapter 19, verse 6. You know, you get to see the guys that started the Ephesians church, how the Holy Ghost was poured out on them through the laying on of hands. You get back into Acts chapter 10, Cornelius from the Italian band, the Italian guy, he gathered everybody in his family, and the same Holy Ghost that was poured out on the Jews was poured out on the Gentiles in the same manner. He came upon. So as you walk in the Spirit, you know, there's a Spirit within and the Spirit that comes upon. Brother Hagin has a book called that, Spirit Within, Spirit Upon. But there's just something there for the people who will constantly, consistently walk in the Spirit. And then when the Spirit comes upon, And it's not limited just to a gathering, but there's something about that for us. And so let's gather together and let's believe God together for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Could show up like last Wednesday night. Could show up during the offering. Could show up during praise and worship. Could show up right in the middle of my message. Not just the tongue and interpretation, but just the Holy Ghost falling. Just be ready. I'll get my best T.D. Jakes on. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. No, it wasn't very good. Can't do it like Bishop. Anyway, get ready. Be ready at home. The Holy Ghost don't just have to fall on you here. I've had him fall on me. You know, I guess I'm reminded because of vacation. One time, Pastor Ron and I were coming home from the beach. The Lord loves it when I go on vacation. I was coming home, and we got to Jasper, Alabama, on Interstate. No, when I got, where was it? Alabaster. How'd you all know this story more than me? Alabaster. There could have been something about the name, but a spirit of prayer fell on me, and I was praying in tongues like a house on fire. And I think sometimes when I got praying really good, my foot got a little stronger. And I had my wife in the Holy, slow down in Jesus' name. But I mean, I mean, it was a suddenly, but we prayed out some things. And you can keep your eyes open and keep two hands on the wheel. I felt very safe. I don't know if she did. I felt very safe. I mean, it doesn't suddenly. Wasn't looking for it. What I don't know what I was doing. I don't remember exactly. I don't know if we were listening to the word because that's what we would normally do. I don't know what we were doing. But suddenly. I've had some interesting suddenlies. I know there's nobody religious in here, so you'll be all right. And then we'll get going here in just a second. The Holy Ghost can fall on you when you're a person who walks in the Spirit. Even if you're doing something natural. When Pastor Rhonda and I got, I'm talking a lot about her. I miss her. She's up in Nashville. On our honeymoon, we were in that hotel. I think it caught on fire, the big one, the round one. And we were watching Forrest Gump. Can you believe that? That's a clean movie, pretty much, right? I don't remember everything now that I said it. We were watching Forrest Gump, and at the end, there's a feather. Y'all remember the feather? Come on, you're from Alabama. You have to have watched Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of... Okay, thank you. And so suddenly, we were just doing nothing. We were watching a movie, and a feather began to go across the screen from a movie. And the Spirit of God fell on me, and I began to prophesy, and I'll never forget it. Just like that feather going from here to there, so will the two of you go round the world. And we have. With no means or intention at that time. We barely made our honeymoon. We had to believe God for every, who could have ever, we couldn't even, the church was 20, 30, 40 people at that time. Who could have ever imagined, even though we were both missionaries, that we would travel all over the world? But a feather, because we were in the Spirit, we were watching a movie, but we lived in the Spirit. God can use anything. Well, I'm going to go home and watch Forrest Gump. It won't work for you that way. Or maybe you'll get something on the box of chocolates. I don't know. Because there's got to be something profound in that, right? Life is like a box of chocolates. How many know we got to stay full? Ephesians 5, 17, be not drunk with wine, whereas excess. First it starts out with, God, understand the will of the Lord. What's the will of the Lord? Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled or be being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit. Live in this way. A person who walks in the Spirit, who puts this on top of it, it just is an extraordinary place. And then I was done, and I closed my notes, and I was kind of done. And the Lord said to me, he was talking to me about y'all, and he said, and then suddenly the place began to shake. Acts chapter 4, they were all gathered together after Peter and John were let go and told not to teach or preach anymore in the name of Jesus. They all gather with their own company. Is this your company? Are you in your own company? Is this your company? It's good to have a company. I mean, it's good to have a group of people who believe like you believe. It's good to be around some folks. I mean, these are some wild folks around here. Hallelujah. I like my company. I like hanging out with y'all. And it says they all prayed and they said, Lord, you know, they're trying to do this, and this is what we want you to do. We want you to stretch forth your hand to heal in the name of your holy child, Jesus. And then suddenly, everybody say suddenly, the place where they assembled was what? It was what? Shaken. When the Holy Ghost came, things began to shake. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and then signs, wonders, and miracles, but the place began to shake. And then in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, you know Paul and Silas were in jail after they had gotten in trouble. After they cast the devil out of that little girl, remember? And so they threw him in prison, and they were ministering, they were praying, and they were ministering to the Lord. And the prisoners heard them, you know? So they were just worshiping God. They weren't worshiping to get out. I know that's how I used to teach it. They weren't worshiping to get out. How do I know? Because when their bands were, if that had been me, I'd have ran, I think. I'm just being real with you. I'd have ran. But they didn't run. Everybody go! I think that's probably what I would have done. But there was a prison, there was the jailer there who was ready to kill himself. So hopefully I would have stopped. I think I would have. And he said, you know, don't harm yourself. We're all still here. And you know, him and his whole family got saved. But what happened? They were praying and worshiping God, so the prisoners heard them. And then suddenly, everybody say suddenly, both things, a God quake came. God doesn't cause quakes that cause destruction, but he does have some quakes up his sleeve. No, his fires don't destroy anything, but he does have some fire. His wind doesn't blow anything down, but he's got some wind. See, when God's elements come, things change. And that's what's on my heart for you. That's what's on our heart for me, for this church, for all of us, for our season. As we gather together, then a suddenly is going to occur, and it's going to include some shaking. I'm not promising the building's going to shake or anything. You all might, you know, we all get excited, you know, when you all shake. You ever seen anybody shake under the power of the Holy Ghost? That's great. And maybe a building shake, but it doesn't matter if we have to feel anything. I'm telling you, I believe that that's here. And as we assemble ourselves together, as we're people who walk in the Spirit, and when the Holy Ghost falls, as we get together, what was really on my heart, and this is what I wrote down: get into God, get into place, and God's about to shake you. Get in the right place, or be in, and that's in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. What were they doing? They were praying. The first group, they were praying. What were they? In the Spirit. What about the second group? What about Paul and Silas? They were praying and worshiping. What were they doing? They were walking in the Spirit. And when they were walking in the Spirit, then suddenly a God quake came, and there was a whole lot of shaking going on, and then things began to change. And I believe there's some shaking coming for your life and for my life, for our church. I believe our nation needs a good shake right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, can I say this? I'll say this. You know, probably because of the Senate election, the eyes, because they always do this in politics, when there's like a special election, the eyes of the entire country get on us. And they're on us for a little bit, but they're going to be on us again. What if they saw a church as a whole in Alabama? Maybe we're known for some things like football, but maybe we should be known for being spiritual. And for where everybody really does and could possibly get along. What could do that? Oh, the church could do that. Let's believe for that. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Amen. Everybody say, suddenly, there's a shaking. Hallelujah. Where from? From heaven? right? A God quake. How do we get there? Walk in the Spirit, and then let the Spirit of God come upon us. Amen? I'm so glad you're here. I had a good time. We'll see you Sunday, either 9 or 11. God bless you.